Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay, so please support them so we can continue to share these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Hillary Drummond Simpson, and she is with HDS Enterprises. Welcome, Hillary.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about HDS Enterprises. How are you serving folks?
Okay, well, HDS Enterprises actually stands for Hillary Drummond Simpson, and the servicing is mostly of young men. And how we do that is in many ways we have programs that we have in schools that I write for them, because a lot of times, you know, you cannot reach our young men unless you can reach the social and emotional. They are not doing well because the social and emotional is not doing well. So I write programs for them, and I will teach the trainer to do it, or I will go into the schools and get our people to train them on the social and emotional. We have a program called Young Men of Promise, which is for this organization, schools and churches and different organizations like 100. And we also have the Young Men of Success, which is a program for parents. If a parent would be interested in having a mentoring or having other young men mentor their child, we also provide that. And also there's tutoring as well. And we just came up with something brand new because we just haven't had a trademark on it. And we are able to work in the field of leadership, civil rights, you know, law enforcement relationships with our young men. So that means that we're able to go into the Congress, and we can speak for our young men and ask them to make some changes because we are affected disproportionately. So we kind of have a lot of things going on our plate right now.
So if you had any advice for a parent to mentor their child, is there anything that you would recommend, maybe some easy stuff that they can get started if they haven't done it already?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on what's going on with the child. So, you know, a lot of times we have to think about what's going on with our young men. Are they succeeding in school? Are they going to school? Are they dropping out of school? What is going on? Because a lot of times it's not so much what is in the school. It's a lot of times it's at home, and parents make the mistake of not really thinking about that. They think that what's going on in school is everything, but at home is the major, major point. So if you're not getting along with your teen, or if you find that they're, you know, they're dropping out of school and they have different friends, then you know that there's definitely something going on with them. And the thing that a parent needs to do at the time when they feel that they need to relax everything because now they're independent, they're teenagers, let's just leave them alone. No. Absolutely not. That is the wrong thing to do. You have to be that friend. You have to be that one so that they can tell you what's really going on. Because if you're not in their corner, they will not trust you to tell you what's going on. So the first thing I would say is to make sure that you have a really good relationship with your child.
So now, what was the genesis of this idea? Why did this become such a passion and a cause for you?
Wow. Well, that's a great question, Lee. You know, I'll tell you just a little bit of my background, but let me just say why it's a passion. In my first book, it's called How to Become a Successful Black Man. And on the back of it, I have the statistics, which came from the Schott Foundation, which is very reputable, and the Department of Justice. And it says 58% of black boys do not graduate from school. And in New York, over 70% don't. And when I tell people that, they're like, no, yes. Okay. The justice system also looks at the third and fourth grade scores in order to decide where to build their jails. So if your child's not performing well in third and fourth grade, there is going to be a jail right around in your area. Okay. One in three black men between the ages of 20 and 29 will spend their time under correctional supervision. That's the prime years. Between 20 and 29, you're looking at one in three. And so there is a lot really going on. Besides that, you know, President Obama, when he was in office and right before he came out, he instituted the My Brother's Keeper program. And that program was to focus on young Black men. And he said the reason for that, and I'm quoting him, he says, and by every measure, the group that is facing some of the most severe challenges in the 21st century and in this country are boys and young men of color. Okay. Well, that's another reason. And then we see the murder of our young men. But I have my own story as a Black mother, as a mother of a Black son. I have three children, two girls and a boy. And my son was going to be everything. My son was going to be everything because my dad went to college. My brother went to Harvard. My mother went to college. Everybody went to college. One of my daughters, she's an attorney. So my son was in the middle and he was going to be everything. So I decided to move from the mean streets of Brooklyn, New York, because at the time they had a no loitering law. No loitering means that you cannot be standing on the sidewalk talking to your friends or talking to anyone. If you know Brooklyn very well, there are not a lot of backyards. So there's really no place for them to be. And I saw, my neighbor's children being carted off to jail just because they're standing on the street side talking to somebody. So I decided that was not going to be my son. So I decided to look for the best schools, and I found the best schools in New Jersey, a top 10 school in the country. And that was the neighborhood that I moved to. Of course, we were 2% African-American in the town. And at the time when I moved there, I was very excited. I still have really good love for the town because I've done a lot of things there. But what I noticed was he was 12 years old at the time when I moved. And the problem didn't really start much there. It started when he was 17 and 18 and now driving. And now he was on the road and he was big and tall, muscular, bald and dark skinned. And so that he was a target. So he would be sitting in his driveway and officers would come to the driveway and ask him for his driver's license to prove that he lived there. So one evening he decided that it was just too much. He was sitting with his girlfriend and he wasn't going to give them his ID, which I warned him against. I said, don't ever do that. No matter how many times, you need to be safe. So he walked in the house and said, I'll prove to you that I live here. I'm tired of you guys harassing me. Well, the very next day at around 3 a.m, my husband and I was home. He was not there. My son was not there. And there was the doorbell rang and we thought, why was my son there? So anyway, we ran downstairs and he had described the officers to me. One was dark haired with glasses and the other was sandy haired and with blue eyes. The same two officers came to the door and they said, ma'am, we had a call from 911. I said, 911? No one called. And they said, ma'am, you can't be sure. Is there anyone else living here? I said, yes, but my son is not here. They said, ma'am, just be sure because a call came into 911 from this number. So at the time, hindsight's 2020, I didn't really know better. So I let them in and they went downstairs, looked around and said, okay, I'm thinking at that point in time, not at that point in time, later on, that they were there to show them that if I want to get in your house, I can. And I shouldn't have because they could have gone down there to do anything. But the bottom line is that continued, he'd be jogging and he'd be stopped by a slew of officers. And the reason they say they're stopping is because someone called 911 that a Black man was on the block. And they were asking where he lived. And he said, right across the street. And they said, where's your ID? He says, I am jogging. I don't usually jog with my ID on me. Well, anyway, that was an issue. Then another time he was stopped again because he crossed the white line. It was a night when he had his girlfriend in his car and her friend stopped over the white line and they took him out and they said, sir, you need to get out of the car. For what? Well, you need to get out of the car. Bottom line, they took him out, they put the handcuffs on him, and then they said, look what we found down here, and immediately put a little white bag and then pulled it out. Look what we found here. All the time laughing together while the two girls were sitting in the back of the car. All the time laughing. So I thought it was a little bit too much. So I called the mayor's office because I worked for the mayor. I was on the Human Relations Council. Even though I was an educator, I worked in the community a lot. And so I called them. The chief of police was there. My friend, who's the mayor of the next town, who's an African-American woman, his girlfriend's parents, we were all there. And the problem was that they would stop harassing us. And because each time my husband would go to work, my husband would be stopped. And the next day when they stopped him, they said, "Oh, it's you, Mr. Simpson. Have a nice day." Okay. So they saw blackface and they decided they were going to stop. Well, the bottom line is, you know, after we made that complaint and I went to the police station and made that complaint, my phone rang at 3 a.m. one morning and it registered the complaint department of the police station. The very next morning, it rang again with no return address, no phone number, nothing. For 1 year, Lee, my phone was called at 3 a.m. in the morning, every single morning. I had to make sure to turn my phone off. I was in Africa. My phone was called. So if I didn't turn my phone on, I would be interrupted in my sleep at 3 a.m. And so that went on for 1 full year. And that was the harassment for me for making a complaint about what officers were doing to my own son. So I've lived it and I see it happening over and over and over. And I realize, look, we need to do something about this. Plus, you have seen now, you know, when I used to talk about this before, people don't really believe it if it doesn't happen to them. If it happens to you, you understand it. But if it does not happen to you, that's not part of your schema. You really don't believe stuff like that. So I have a lot coming. And as an educator, I have been working with our young men for a long time. And so I realize how they sometimes would not have as much as they need to have, but they pretend that they do when they really need help. So my concern has been there for a long, long time. And my thing is to make sure that I have them become successful, just have a system of success so they can have a better environment and a better life. And that's my focus.
Now, you're the author of a couple books on this topic. What are some ways that we can help you? Are you looking for just getting the word out about these books? Are you looking to partner with groups and organizations to kind of do some leadership training?
Yes.
What do you need?
Yes, we're looking for groups to partner with our company. We're looking for people to partner with us. We also have actually a Facebook group that helps mothers who have issues, concerns about their young men and really need help, that they can come on, talk about their issues in a safe place where they can be believed and they can be helped by someone else who kind of understands it. Yes, we're looking for partnership. Yes, we're also looking to get the word out about the books, get the word out about the programs. But my focus is to be of service to my community that really, really needs it. And one of the things that I think that we all need to do, I think all of us need to do, is to educate ourselves on what has happened and what is really going on right now. And what do you need to do to make sure that your family is safe and successful? And how can you support someone else? Because after all, we are all mothers with sons, no matter what race, no matter what creed, we all have children and we all want the best for our children. No one wants their child to see their child being murdered on the street by someone who does not seem to care, because you know that you're not going to be prosecuted. You know, that's also another problem. They realize that there's not going to be any prosecution. They'll start it, and before you know it, it's dropped because there are relationships with prosecutors and police officers. You know, one depends on the other. So we're finding that if we're not advocating and doing something, then nothing happens. And this, who would think that this would be happening in the age 2020? We thought slavery, you know, the Jim Crow, all of that was over. We know that was passed. It's not. You know, it's in the prison system. It's still everywhere. And we have to look out for one another. And you don't want to sound like you're complaining. But now that people have the ears, they understand that it is real. It is real for me and it is real for other mothers. I see what happens to them. I see what happens when they come into school. I see how disproportionately they're affected. And if you complain, I made this mistake once, Lee. When I started Save Our Black Sons last year, I actually didn't realize that I put a post on the new Facebook page. And I gave them a statistic about young men and what happens to them in the classroom sometimes. And it was horrid to see the responses that were there, 60-something responses. And many of them were asking, well, what about the father being in the home? What about the mother? Is the mother doing what she's supposed to do? Right? Always easy to blame the victim, never trying to understand that people are disproportionately affected by certain things. Officers will say, hey, listen, we target Black folks because you're easier. They say, can you imagine me going to Midtown Manhattan and stop a white person for this and that? The next day, the mayor's office would be called. But guess what? I was one of those mothers of a Black color, but yet I had to pay. Because how dare me to call the mayor's office and have the chief of police sit down and talk about what's going on in my family? How dare I? So this is real. And this has been going on for a long time. My book was published in 2012. This is 2020. And I started writing it in 2009. But the focus of the book is really to give young Black men role models at their fingertips. That's what it's about, you know. And it sounds really weird that it's so appropriate today because I gave them how to stay safe from the law. But if they were Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd, I could not have saved them because one was hunted down and the other one was killed right there in front with the cameras in your face. So I couldn't have saved them. And I didn't really see what he did to deserve, or any of them did to deserve, being killed. So it is an issue. It's a problem. And we live in the same house. All of us in this country live in the same house. United States of America promises justice for all with their 14th Amendment. They promises that, but they're not living up to it. And we plan to make sure that they do. This is not yesterday. This is today.
Well, we thank you for all the work you're doing to evangelize about this important issue. And it sounds like you have a playbook for some solutions as well. If somebody wanted to get a hold of your books or maybe work with you to set up a workshop or a program at their organization, what's the best website to get a hold of you?
SaveOurBlackSons.com would be best. SaveOurBlackSons.com or HillaryDSimpson.com. But since we're talking SaveOurBlackSons.com, that probably would be the easiest one to get to. Or HillaryDSimpson.com would be appropriate.
Well, Hillary, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing such important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Lee. I appreciate you.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.